Let me ask you to turn to Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13. We're considering the role of the Holy Spirit in missions. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 1 through verse 5. The word of God. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. The role of the Holy Spirit. One of the things we have with Luke is his faithful account of God's work and the church being established as we know it today. We see the persecution that started with the martyrdom of Stephen. And Luke tells us that the believers were scattered. And as they went up, as they were scattered and they went about, they were preaching the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saw himself on the road to Damascus, encountered Christ, and came to faith. The gospel goes as far as Antioch by those who are fleeing persecution. Barnabas was there, a faithful man of God, an encourager. He himself, as he saw the needs in the church at Antioch, decided to bring Paul to teach and to help them with the teaching ministry as the church grew. Antioch was known as a city, was known as the Queen of the East, the capital of the province of Syria. You need to just keep in mind that this was the largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome and Alexandria. It means that this was the hub. If you spoke about populations, this would have been a place with one of the largest group of people among the towns or the cities of the day. As you read chapter 13 in the book of Acts, Luke shows us that this Antioch in Syria quickly became the new and largest missions hub in the rest of the Gentile world. Eventually, this is the city that would replace Jerusalem as the center for missions. One brother, Tim Cantrell, has outlined the 10 outstanding features we find with the church at Antioch. In chapter 11, I'll just read these for you. In chapter 11 of the book of Acts 19 to 24, we see that this church at Antioch was an evangelistic church. In chapter 11, we also see that it was an encouraging church with men like Barnabas serving in that church. In chapter 11, 25 to 26, it was a teaching church. This is why they brought Paul to help with the teaching ministry. This was a joyful church. You see that in chapter 11, 23. In chapter 11 and 26, it was a Christ-centered church sought to honor and glorify Christ in chapter 11, 27 to 30 was a serving church. We get to chapter 13 and verse 1 where we are. But this was a church that loved the truth, a humble church, loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 13 and verse 2, this was a worshiping church, was marked by worship, as we'll see. In chapter 13, verse 3 to 4, that this was a sending and missionary church. And you see their unity, that this was a unified church in our text today. Because of its position, this church became quickly influential in missions. What are the things that you and I would consider to be the things that makes up successful missions work? We have a number of things in this book. It tells us that this church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, and others. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. It's very interesting, the dealings of the Holy Spirit with this church. He says to them, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So went on, continued to pray in verse 3, fasting. They laid their hands on them and they sent them out. Look at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Every time I read this part, I'm thinking, I'm like, what was happening in this church? Being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And we can engage in a debate, who sent who? In missions, we need the mission. As we saw in our first session, the biblical basis for missions. We need the mission. Then we need the sender. Then we need the goer. Someone has to go. Someone has to send. And there has to be a purpose, the mission. The Spirit of God say to this man, to these men, that there is a work which I have called them. What work was this? We know that when Paul and Barnabas left, they went to the Gentile cities and began to preach the gospel. What were they doing? They were establishing churches. Those who would be converted, they would gather them together, they would appoint elders, they would later on write letters to encourage those churches. And they went on and on. Everywhere where the Lord would send them. But it starts with a church that's praying, that's fasting, that's seeking the Lord. A church where the word of God is being taught and they're being faithful. And they even see the need to bring in other teachers, and they bring in Paul to help this growing church, this thriving church, so they can be faithful to the things of God. If the Spirit of God is going to be at work in our churches, these are some of the things we need to see in our churches. Churches that are walking in love. Churches that are seeking to evangelize the lost. Churches that are seeking to encourage one another in fellowship. Churches that are seeking to teach the word of God. Churches that worship joyfully. Sometimes I go to visit churches and I can only hear myself sing, and probably the people sitting around next to me. I'm so encouraged. I come here and I hear people sing, not hiding behind instruments. Praise the Lord for churches that sing joyfully. These were churches that loved, this was a church that loved the truth, loved to worship, ministered before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, I have a mission for them. And from what we've seen and what we see Paul and Barnabas go out to do, we know that the mission was for them to go and preach the gospel and plant churches. But beyond that, there was a special mission to go among the Gentiles, bringing hope with them. Remember, in Acts 1, as we saw, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He says, you have a mission, you have a task, and I'm sending you, I'm commissioning you for that particular task. They wanted it to end so quickly. God says, no, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And we see the Spirit's faithfulness as he comes alongside and sets the agenda, the mission, as he's handpicking people in the congregation and saying, I've got a duty for this one. I've got something to do for this one. And he's setting them apart and sending them out to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates the mission. Amen. We don't create the mission. One time someone told me, says, you know, here's what we want you to do. It's actually very interesting. I'm a pastor. I'm a local church pastor. I pastor a church in Blantyre, in one place. Says, here's what we want you to do. We want you to go out and start an orphanage. Like, first of all, how dare you, okay? Secondly, it's God who sets the mission. It's God who tells us what to do. We don't go out telling people what they should be doing. People will bring all sorts of suggestions to you. Maybe you should be doing this as a church. Maybe you should be doing that as a church. People even say, and this is what we've seen, even ourselves in Blantyre, people will come and say, what about this group? What about that group? What about this? What about that? And we're like, we have one mission, and that's to bring the good news to the lost. And that's the mission that the Holy Spirit has set for us. And this is the mission the Holy Spirit sets for Barnabas and Saul. Say, set them apart for the work I've called them. So he tells us, he sets the agenda, and we know what the agenda is, to be witnesses to Christ. Here's a second thing we see. It tells us that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said to them, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. The Spirit of God, he's the one who prompts the senders. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the church. It would be different for Barnabas and Saul to just wake up one morning and Saul says, you know I'm an apostle, right? To the church. The church says, yes, yes, you are. Barnabas says, you know I've been a teacher in here for many years, right? Yes. You know I've been an encourager, yes. You know I'm one of the big shots in this church, yes. Me and my friend Paul, we have a mission. And the Spirit of God told us about this mission. What do you think the church would have said? Yes, 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 yes. Please go. Well, how much do you need? But that's not what is happening here. The Spirit of God speaks to the church, separates unto me, Saul and Barnabas, for the agenda that I have for them. Now we get this, even in our ministry. Young people come in and says, oh, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this, I need to do this, I need to set this ministry, I need to do this. We hear it all the time. What is the Spirit of God saying to the churches? What is he saying to the church? He speaks to the church. One time someone says, you know, Pastor Mark, why do you entrust these big decisions to the church? Some of them are so young. Some of them are new believers. Some of them are struggling with sin. Some of them are... Why? And I said, the Spirit is speaking to the church. He speaks to the church. What is the church saying? Don't you think Jesus knew that there will be children in the church? Don't you think Jesus knew that there will be some struggling with sin in the church? Don't you think that Jesus knew that there will be some who at that point might not have heard of John Calvin? Don't you think he knew that? That there will be novices in the church. There will be the most educated people in the church. The least educated people in the church. There will be the poor, the rich in the church. There will be all sorts of people in the church. But the Spirit speaks to the church. And so what is the Spirit of God saying to the church? The church is called to submit to the elders. But the elders submit to who? To the church. Who holds the elders accountable? The church. Who appoints elders? The church. Who trains elders? The church. I tell our church that I'm a product of your ministry as a church. Your patience, your giving, your teaching ministry. And so Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. He's the one who creates the mission. The Spirit of God is the one who prompts the senders. Now, what does the Bible tell us? What did they do? They in verse 3, they continued to fast and to pray. And then they laid hands on them and sent them away. But what do we see in verse 4? So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, he's the one who prompts and who sets apart the goers. Not only is he creating what the agenda should be in missions, not only is he prompting the senders, he's also the one who prompts the goers and sets them apart. Now, who's doing the setting apart? He spoke to the church. Now separate to me. And we'll see what the role of the church is in missions in our last session this afternoon. But clearly, the Holy Spirit is not coming and undercutting. And you understand, you live in Nigeria. And we are recipients of whatever is happening in this city. Young boys who just come up from nowhere, young women come up from nowhere and says, "I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a senior this, I'm a major that," and running around. Who appointed you? Who set you apart? Who sent you? No one knows. The Spirit of God doesn't undercut the church. And I will tell you this, and I've said this so many times to our church, but I can come up in our church and I can say to them that, you know, I was praying, you know how we can get spiritual. I was fasting 21 days. Probably I was eating in the evening. I'll start again the next day, but I only 21 day fasting anyway. You know what I'm talking about. I can say all those things and sound very spiritual. And then I can say, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is sending me to this particular area. Or he's telling me to quit ministry and go do something else. Or he's telling me to leave and probably embark on this other endeavor. And what do you think our church would say? If Pastor Osi came up here and did that, what do you think? What would you say? Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How much do you need, Pastor, to go and be able to do this? But we see that it's the Spirit who creates the mission. He has enough wisdom in the church. Amen? He's the one who prompts the sender. He doesn't undercut the senders. Doesn't undercut the goers. He deals with all of them. And this is why I said in our first session that missions is a corporate endeavor. The church comes together and they ask, like it is in Revelation, what is the Spirit of God saying to the church? And this is why all three parties, the sender, should ask, what is the Spirit saying to the church? The goer should say, what is the Spirit saying to the church? I might be convinced that this is what the Spirit of God is saying. But when I bring it to the church, what is the church saying? What is the Spirit of God saying to the church? So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Who sent them? Let's go back to the text, verse 3. Then they, having fasted, prayed, laid their hands on them. Who was laying hands? It was the church, the leaders of that church, isn't it? Then they sent them away. Who is the they? The church. They sent them away. And then in verse 4, Luke says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Ah, look, verse 3, you see, the church sent these people. And Luke is trying to help us understand that this is a corporate endeavor. If the church says, we want to send so-and-so to go do this, but so-and-so should also hear it from the Spirit. And I'm not talking about the superficial stuff that people say, oh, the Spirit told me this and the Spirit told me. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible has given it enough for us to discern God's will for us. Has God given so-and-so the burden? And you as a church, you need to be going out. The elders say, brother so-and-so, we want you to go to this place. Meet brother so-and-so. Ask, but what is God saying to you? Do you believe this is God's will? Have you considered all the factors if you are the right person? And the elders should go to the church. The church should go to the elders. It's a corporate endeavor. Pray, fast, come together. And the elders say, you know, we are at a place where we are about to lay hands on this man, on these people, to go out. The church is doing it together. It's not our mission, amen? It is not our mission, it's the mission of the Holy Spirit. He has a work. And sometimes we're trying to make decisions as a church. We're trying to discern, we're trying to think, is this the right thing? And we have to vote. And the vote is not the most important thing. We go around and talk to people. The list of the members in the church. Well, how do you feel about this? There are some who just tell you, I just don't feel right about this. I just don't feel right about this. Like, well, what do you mean? Can you give reasons of you right about this? It's okay. You know what? We'll get back to you when you have reasons. Some people just don't feel right about anything. And we have people like that in the church, isn't it? They just disagree with every decision. Look at what this church is doing. Look at what these elders are doing. Ah, you know, look what they're doing. Oh, do you have a better idea? Ah, no, I just don't feel right about this. You know what? You know what? People like that, get with the program. Get in line. We have work to do. To come, as we've seen in our last session, the church that comes together, coming alongside the leaders of that church. And you'll be amazed, the ministry of the church at Antioch when it came to missions this afternoon. That church loved missions. They loved to hear that Christ is being glorified and honored among the nations. Missions belong to the Holy Spirit. It's rooted in the local church. Listen to this. In John 16 in verse 8, and when he has come, Jesus making a big promise of the Spirit of God, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. He's here doing one thing. To glorify Christ. Amen. When he's working in the church, he's working in the church to glorify Christ, not to help us create little missions for ourselves, to glorify Christ. Again in John chapter 16 verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. With the Spirit of God, he's big enough, he's God, to be able to guide the people of God in the right direction. The question for us here at Sovereign Grace is that, first of all, have we understood the mission? What is the mission? What is it that the Spirit of God is saying to these men? The mission, the work to which I've called these two. What is that mission? We discussed this in our first session. Secondly, are we willing to submit ourselves one to another, to let the Spirit of God speak through his church, speak to his church? Are we willing to submit one to another? It tells us at the beginning of our text, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. These men were praying, fasting, seeking to be faithful to this church. Clearly, Barnabas was one of the leaders in that church. He goes on to pick Paul and bring Paul into that church so he can help teach and disciple the growing church. Are you as a church ready to say that, you know what, here are my elders in this church, that God is speaking to, the Spirit of God is speaking to them. That's why he's put them here. Are you as a church willing to say, we're going to come behind these men and we're going to make sure that the mission of God is accomplished through us? Because you believe that the Spirit of God is speaking to them. And for the elders to turn around and say, we're about to make these big decisions, but we want to make sure that the least of our members in the church are on board. If it means we delay, we delay. It means we wait, we wait. We're not talking about entertaining people who just are indifferent. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are willing to pray, to fast, to discern, to seek the Lord, and to honorably sit with other members, with the leaders of the church, and say, can we discern together what the Spirit of God is saying to us? It requires patience with one another, amen? requires us being patient with one another, us being patient with our elders, our elders being patient with us, all of us together trying to discern the voice of God in our midst. We have a simple system in our church. We want to make a decision, many decisions. The elders come together and we make those decisions. That's why we are called ruling elders. Or we make those decisions. But there are also many decisions that we come to the church and we say, take time. Here's what we believe the Lord would like to do. And please take time, pray, fast, think. And the church begins to pray, to consider. And even during that time, we are spending time with people and asking, have you thought about what we discussed before we come together again? What do you think is God's will? And we listen, and we listen. Don't you do that as a married person with your wife? Don't you do that as a married woman with your husband? Can you imagine if in my house, in my home, if I just showed up and I say, sweetheart, you need to come outside. Come outside, sweetheart. You know, and blindfold you. Let me blindfold you. You know, she's like, well, what is happening outside? And I take her outside. And I open the door. And so we're outside. You know what? Are you ready? She's like, yes, I'm ready. And I just open her eyes. And she says, whoa, what is this? I'm like, it's a helicopter. She's like, what is it for? I'm like, to go to church with that. Oh, well, where did you get the money? She's like, I borrowed the money, sweetheart. It's like, don't you think my wife will pass out at that point? You sit down with your children and says, you know, well, your mommy and I, or your dad and I, we've decided to move from this house. We are moving. In about a couple of months, we'll be moving. You know, and you prepare that child because they have been attached to that house and their whole life is in that house. You prepare their little hearts so that you'll be uprooting them from that place to somewhere else. You do that, isn't it? I hope you do that. You know, your child wakes up ready to go to school and you just say, no, you're not going to school today, you're going to your new house. New house, Dad, what do you mean? You're going to crush that little soul, isn't it? And that's not how we make decisions, isn't it? But what's the difference with the church? When the church is about to engage in missions, whether it's cross-cultural missions, church planting, whatever missions, when you're about to engage in missions, you do the same. You look out for those little hearts in the church. You shepherd people into that decision. Are there others who need to be left behind? Yes, there are always people that need to be left behind. But you do that. You shepherd one another into a decision. And in the end, when a decision has to be made to buy that helicopter, and you say, our elders have decided this is the right direction, having consulted with us, and now we are about to buy this helicopter. I'm sure they are right. And I'll pray that this decision should be right. And you have people in the church who just pray, I want to prove them wrong. I want to prove them wrong. I know it will fail. I want to prove them wrong. No, I will not be that person. Amen? I will not be that person. I will ensure that this decision is the right decision. I'll pray for success. I'll give. I'll encourage. I'll support. I'll cheer our church so we can serve our Lord Jesus Christ, for the mission is given us. Amen? Amen. Father, we do come before you knowing we've made so many mistakes and we've sinned against you in this area, that we've not honored you as you have commanded us. We pray you'd forgive us. You would cleanse us with the blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, you would give us clarity. You would help us to serve you faithfully, oh God, to be a church that's discerning well, listening, and obeying what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you for not leaving us as orphans, but giving us your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. Thank you for such a gift. In Jesus' name.